Welcome to the fun show.
I'm Kelly Cree.
I'm Jessica Mullen.
And let's see what kind of fun we can get into today, babe.
Here we go. What's the most fun thing that happened to you yesterday?
Yesterday? What did we do yesterday? Oh my gosh, we rode our bikes to the gym. Yeah, it was really fun.
It was so fun. I went so fast.
I just want to do a Cleveland PSA real quick, because I was thinking about this in my head yesterday, actually. So, and I didn't know, I thought about doing it on Instagram, but it was just like this list of things about Cleveland that's so great. Like, you can afford to live here, and I forget the other ones, but the main one is, if you are self-employed, you don't have to pay income tax, state income tax, until you make over $250,000. So, like, for a freelancer like us, or if you, you know, maybe you're an artist and you make most of your money online, like, basically, if you work remotely and you are, like, a contractor, not an employee, you should move to Cleveland.
Yeah, it's really cool because at first I was really disillusioned when I realized there was not only state income tax, but Cleveland city income tax, which might negate the savings from the state tax, actually.
That's true. Yeah.
So that's kind of a hassle, and that's an Ohio thing that you'll have to pay. There's plenty of places in the country that have city tax, but it's the first place I've ever lived with city tax.
Never in my life had I heard of a damn-ass city tax.
I know. But the city tax, it's the one, like, it goes to the millions of potholes in the transportation and the libraries, and they do have a great infrastructure here, and I'm happy to pay the price. And
there's
they do
a lot
maintain
of libraries.
It. There are so many libraries, and they have all the books I want, and if they don't have them, they'll order them for me. So it's really just like my book fund.
And there's public transportation, like a train.
There's a train. There's actually like 4 or 5 train lines. It's a Chicago without the population. So if you are an artist or self-employed and you're looking for somewhere to move that's more affordable, please come to Cleveland. We really need you here. There's just not a lot of people here. It's weird. It's this big city with all this infrastructure, but just not that many people. But
anyway, so today we're talking about the prosperity plan.
Back to the fun in our lives.
So the prosperity plan, okay, you want to just explain real quick what it is, and then I'll tell my kind of backstory about it?
Yeah. The prosperity plan is a plan devised by John Randolph Price. You can Google it and find the words for it, the explanation and how to do it. And it is a 40-day plan where you basically just meditate on a different idea every day. And if you skip a day, you have to start over, which is the hardest part. That's my explanation. That's what
it's
stands out.
It's basically just a plan.
It's a plan, and you have to do it for 40 days. It's I said,
yeah, right.
You meditate
it is called,
on a concept.
It is called the 40-day prosperity plan, and the plan tells you the idea for each day that you meditate on.
And so, it's based in, the concepts come from mystical Christianity. So it does talk about God and the divine, but, you know, just substitute the universe or whatever you believe in.
And it comes from a book called The Abundance Book, which was written by John Randolph Price. So if you're really interested in the 40-day prosperity plan, I would look for a copy of that book. It's a really little book. It's super cute. You could probably get it for like $3 on Amazon. We should sell it through our store.
Through AliExpress.
It's one of my favorite books I've ever encountered, which is a great lead into the first time I ever saw it was this super magical day when Jessica and I lived in Austin. And it's a noteworthy vibrational bookmark for me because I distinctly remember that day making the choice. I was like, today I'm just gonna trust, like, whatever happens, or just go completely with the flow and not like try to do anything. Just listen to my intuition and just follow that the whole day. And so we ended up riding our bikes up to this feminist bookstore, Bookwoman, in Austin, which was quite the bike ride, really. And because we were going to see if she wanted to sell our first book, Doing Thinking, Feeling Being. And we were really nervous.
We were so scared.
We reflect back on that all the time and laugh about how nervous we were, but we were really nervous. But we decided that day was the day we were going to start putting ourselves out there. And so we were browsing before we got up the courage to ask if they wanted to sell our books there.
Was this the first time that we went? Because yeah. The first time we didn't even ask.
We didn't?
No.
We left. I thought we did.
The second time, I think, we finally asked. I think when we went with Tracy.
So we never... No, we did ask about selling DTFB there, but I think we never followed through on it or something.
We just got the form.
Yeah.
Either just some form you had to fill out if you wanted to get consignment.
And Susan wasn't there. The owner wasn't there. It was an employee. So it was like she didn't have the authority to make the choice right then, like yes or no. You know, so she was like, oh, fill out this form. And we just got deterred really easily.
They're like, oh, she doesn't like it.
Which, as a side note, if you are a person who is trying to sell your work on consignment at a store, you have no reason to be nervous. And I now know through life experience, you have no reason to be nervous. You're practically, I mean, you're helping them. You're giving them something to sell for free. Like
you're giving them free money, free inventory.
Like they should be the ones thanking you to offer to leave your work there on consignment. So don't get nervous if you are thinking about selling something on consignment anywhere. Just go and ask. Like, the likelihood of them agreeing to it is very high.
Very high. And it's just, it never hurts to ask. And pretty much anywhere will say yes. If they sell things on consignment, they'll try it because it's no risk to them.
Exactly. So go try it. So far, the fun show we've learned, move to Cleveland and try to sell your stuff on consignment.
Just try to be like us.
So we're at Bookwoman and we're browsing, and I come across the Abundance book just by accident, and I read a couple pages. I come across like the 40-day prosperity plan is just one subsection of the Abundance book, and came across the introduction to it, which in one part like talks about renouncing your humanhood. And that just really stuck with me. So like as soon as I got home, I looked up the prosperity plan, and the author has a website on like this weird blog called Inner Self. It's like a blog post about the prosperity plan. So if you search John Randolph Price 40-day prosperity plan, you can find that in all the prompts. And it's just like a really like, the first time I came across the ideas, they just really clicked with me and just totally changed the way, like, my outlook on life, really.
Yeah, on money. Like, I just never thought about it the way that the author put it. Like, one of the main core concepts is money is not my supply. No person, place, or thing is my supply. My supply is my connection to God. That's a paraphrase.
Right, so the whole premise of the prosperity plan is that, you know, money is just another
indicator.
Indicator, right, exactly. It's an external indicator of what's going on in your inner world, like whether or not you have basically peace and resonance in your vibration, or if you have dissonance. Then you'll see that dissonance played out in your physical reality. So the idea is to achieve inner peace, and then through doing that, the money and any other reflection that you would want or that you would expect to see from that alignment would show up.
And it just helps you let go of thinking that you need money to survive and that you can't be happy without money. Like, you can choose to look at money differently. You can choose to think that your connection to source or God or the universe is more important. You can choose to just look at it differently. You don't have to be tethered to this idea that you need money to survive and you need it right now and you need more. It's never going to be enough. And when you shift your focus to thinking that my connection to my source, my inner peace, my sense of connection to something bigger, that matters way more than how much money I have. And when I have that connection, the money comes. And so you do this plan. The first day you write down, I renounce my humanhood. And I remember that I am divine and I got this.
And I cease my belief in lack is another huge aspect of it, is the realization that there is no lack and that abundance exists infinitely.
Right, and lack is just a mindset and abundance is just a mindset. It's all based on your perspective, and these prompts are designed to help you shift your perspective one day at a time for 40 days.
And we've done it, I mean, so many times now at this point.
I would say we've successfully completed it 4 or 5 times, but we've started it a lot of times.
And every time we do it, it's just, well, part of it is like making the choice to do it. So it's like, if I'm going to do this 40-day plan, then I want to see the effects of it. So I'm going to devote myself to it because I want to see something happen from it.
Right. Like, all of spirituality begins because you want to manifest something and you have to connect to God to do that. And it'll never be like, oh yeah, let me just connect to God. That's going to motivate me. No, the motivation is that I want something in this physical world. But then the more you get into it, the more you see, like, oh yeah, the connection to God, that solves all my problems.
And that's what you're ultimately seeking when you want more money anyway. You know, you want a sense of security. So you want more money because you want to feel secure in your life. And when you are able to find that security within, then you don't need things outside of you to provide that security for you.
And then they're free to come to you because you're not blocking them with your thoughts of lack.
Yes.
So we're doing the prosperity plan now. We're on day 24. I think my favorite part about it is that it forces us to meditate every day. And it just gives me such a nice flow and focus to just know I'm going to meditate that day. My whole life is way calmer.
And it just really helps me become aware of where my thoughts are. What, you know, like, is that a lack thought, you know, or is that an abundance thought? And just really being aware, like, am I, the thoughts I'm thinking throughout my day, are they in alignment with this meditation that I started my day out with, you know, or do I, you know, like you have to, like, the evidence will reflect your belief in it, right? So something that the prosperity really helps me recognize is that I spend a lot of time with, like, 1 foot in one door and 1 foot in the other, meaning, like, I focus, like, so much of my energy on, like, the magical aspects of life, but I can sense that I also subconsciously always have my foot in this, like, physical reality door that's, like, this part of me that's like, well, this stuff really isn't real, and you can keep trying to chip away at it or whatever, but part of you really needs to stay in the physical reality world and make sure you pay your bills. And so when there's that, when that duality still exists in my belief system and in the way that I act and the way that I, you know, go about my life, then that's exactly how my reality is going to play out. Maybe some little bits of magic will slip in, but there's still going to be this part of me that doesn't fully believe it. So that when the belief and the devotion isn't there 100%, then you're not going to get 100% of the results. And so one thing I really like about the prosperity plan is it forces me to ask myself, like, which version do I believe? Which version do I really want to live in? Which version do I want to devote myself to?
Yeah, it really helps develop your trust muscle and your patience. And another one of my favorite parts is there's one of the prompts that says, I don't remember what it says, but it goes, the divine presence that I am is my...
is the source and substance of all my good.
Okay, the divine presence that capital I, capital A-M, is the source and substance of all my good. And a lot of Eastern religions suggest using the mantra of I am, but in Sanskrit or whatever language the religion is in. And they suggest you use this I am mantra because it helps you step back from duality and understand that you are the world that you're looking at. And when you are resisting, you don't want to think that you are that thing that you don't like. Like when you say I am to yourself, you can start to understand that your lack is you. It's you creating it. When you see negativity, it's you creating it. And that I am mantra is very powerful to me, especially when I'm resisting or irritated or annoyed or sad or depressed. When I remember I am big enough to hold it all. It all is me. And it, like, you can't just focus on wanting to be all the good things in life. You are also all the bad things in life. And the whole prosperity plan gets me out of duality mindset a little bit and helps me relax in the knowing that, how does it go? Relax in the knowing.
Relax in the knowledge that the activity of divine abundance is eternally operating in my life.
Yeah. So I love it when I find reflections that support the mantras that I like to think, and the prosperity plan really helps with that, transcending duality.
And also, I just wanted to add, like, I've been reading a little bit more about quantum physics lately, and just, like, thinking about reality from that mindset too, just, like, kind of putting the spiritual aspect aside and just really thinking about it from, like, a technical and scientific aspect, you know, which in some ways I think kind of helps, because when, not to say that I'm not still a spiritual person, but it's just a way that I've been looking at my life model, because then it's like, you're not, I don't know, when you think about the God within or whatever, it can get really
flaky.
Or just, like, muddy, thinking about it, like, there being some sort of, like, other entity that you answer to. Not that I see God as, like, this, as a judgmental, not even a character, but still thinking about having to connect to, I'm having trouble articulating it, but just looking at it from a scientific point of view, it's just, like, there's either, you know, interference in my observation of the particles, or there isn't. So, like, just to sum up the quantum theory, it's basically that matter acts according to observation or expectation. So in that regard, just the prosperity plan, if it can just help you bring light to your expectations, to your, the ways in which you're observing the particles and putting them into place, you know, and just, like, that perspective has helped clean up a lot of things for me, because it just makes it so cut and dry. Like, there's no God. not to say that there isn't any God, but I'm saying in this model that I'm exploring.
There's no God telling you, you have to do this spiritual practice if you want to get what you want. It's either you look at it the way you want to or you don't.
Right. And that's the way the particles are going to line, like, arrange themselves. And they're always changing.
And it helps, looking at the quantum physics helps convince your logical mind, because the unknown is never going to convince your logical mind, because your logical mind can't know it. So it's hard to convince your logical mind that, yeah, you really got to put your faith in this divine presence within. But reading a book that tells you, yeah, your observation influences your reality. Like, okay, I got that. I can do that.
Right.
Science. So you guys should try it. Y'all should try it.
I just wanted to bring that up because it's something that's really been, like, clearing things up for me lately. Like, just choose to observe it in a different way then.
Just, yeah, like, whatever your problem is, just, you don't even have to actually see it the other way. Just ask yourself, oh, here's a good one. In A Course in Miracles, in the Cliff's Notes book about Course in Miracles, I read something that said,
I believe it's called A Course in Miracles.
Something like that. Like Karen something.
Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, Karen. So, she says, when you have a problem, to ask, to, like, pray. Like, a lot of it is about praying for help. So she says, when you have a problem, to pray, and the prayer is, dear God, please help me see the situation with different eyes. And so you don't even have to think about what the perspective is that you want to shift to. If you're looking at something in a way you don't like it, just pray or ask or just think, I want to see this in a different way. Please help me see this in a different way. And that's all you have to do is ask, and it will be revealed to you the different way that will help you see that your problem is actually a solution.
It reminds me, you saying all you have to do is ask to see it in a different way reminds me of how we always say you just, like, have to want to do something. Like working out is a really good example of that. Like, sometimes I don't want to work out, but I want to work out. And it's just like you said, like, you don't have to force yourself to see it from a different perspective. You can ask, and then that perspective will be presented. And it's the same with wanting to want to. If you want to, you don't have to force yourself to want to. You can just ask to want to, and then you will want to.
Yeah, because science.
Magnets.
Particles. Lights.
Well, I really wanted to touch on don't try to do anything.
Well, don't try to do anything to touch on it. Okay, check this out. If you haven't seen Long Strange Trip about the Grateful Dead on Amazon Prime, you gotta watch it tonight. Even if you don't like the Dead, it is so good.
Well, don't forget that it's the whole entire reason why this show is called The Fun Show.
Oh my God, it's because the Grateful Dead. Okay, rewind. We were living in Galesburg a couple years ago, and we're looking for something to watch at night, and Long Strange Trip just came out on Prime, and I think basically we were going to watch it because we wanted to see if John Perry Barlow was in it, who...
Our friend.
Our bestie, John Perry Barlow, RIP. God, he was so cool. But we met John Perry Barlow at a wedding and hung out with him, and he was really cool. So we're like, all right, let's watch this Grateful Dead documentary, see if he's in it. Our brush with fame.
I really wanted to watch
it. Oh, right. Kelly liked The Grateful Dead. I forgot.
I have liked The Grateful Dead since at least 7th grade, and I've been trying to get her to listen to The Dead, and she's like, I don't do jam music.
I truly did not do. I think it sucks, but... It's just, like, I don't know, it's boring music for me. Or was. Well, there's still plenty of jam music I don't like, but I just, like...
I love jam music, by the way. So if anyone wants to send me any recs...
like, there's some jam music I like, but rock and roll jam music was not to my taste at the time. So, yeah, I had no interest in The Dead. I thought it sucked. And plus, my vision was so tainted by the Grateful Dead's, by the Deadheads in the 90s on the news. Like, oh God, this like hippie movement of, like, I was a goth high schooler and the Deadhead subculture just did not appeal to me. I don't know why. It just seemed cheesy. I thought it was like cheesy and like cult-like. So anyway, we watched Long...
It was very cult-like.
For good reason.
Right?
I joined. So we watched Long Strange Trip, and it turns out the Grateful Dead formed on acid, which we've talked about on the Fun Show before at like the first episode. But we watched the documentary, and I remembered that I actually am a Deadhead, even though I hadn't really heard any of their music. It turned out I was a Deadhead all along.
And tried to tell her.
Since I was 18 and I took acid for the first time, that's when I woke up as a Deadhead.
So anyway, we've been watching it again, because we wanted to, like, work on our computers and watch TV at the same time, so we had to watch something we've already seen. So we tossed on Long Strange Trip again.
And oh my God, it's so good.
It's so good. Like, even the second time, there's all these gems. Of course, the number one gem being Jerry asking if everything is going to be fun. Like, his main goal in life was fun. Well, especially at the beginning. And so that's why we called this the Fun Show.
Yeah, because all Jerry cared about was having fun, and he just wanted the music to be fun. He only wanted to go places if it was going to be fun. He just wanted to play fun music, and that is my philosophy as well.
So another gem that we got from it the other night was, I can't remember which character, but I think it was Phil Lesh character. I mean, band member.
Phil Lesh is talking about how the Dead is finally starting to take off, and he's thinking about ways they can take it even further, like shows they can schedule, albums they can record, things that they can do to be more successful.
Well, he said whenever he started getting excited about his own ideas for the Dead, and he would try to tell Jerry about them.
And Jerry, like what?
He didn't give an example.
Oh. I wasn't there.
She wasn't probably watching. but anyway, and Jerry tells him, don't try to do anything with the Grateful Dead, man.
Just don't try to do anything with it.
Basically saying that the Grateful Dead was the Tao, and that you can't try to, like, force anything. You just have to allow it to unfold, which is the way that it always had from the beginning. And Jerry was basically like, don't try to force anything onto this project. Like, just let this project be what it is, what it always has been. And that was really inspiring for us, because that's kind of like a way that we already approach our work, but we were really validated by that statement, obviously. Yeah. Because Jerry's our idol.
I still get caught up in thinking, like, I need a weekly publishing schedule, I need to stick to this, we need to get more customers,
we need more followers,
we need to do promos, we need to do advertising, we need to come out with new work right now, we need to take care of our subscribers, we need to do. And Jerry's just like, you know what, man? Don't try to do anything with the School of Life Design.
Right? And then it's like, anytime we do try to do, you know, something, it just feels so inauthentic, or like...
like we're just trying to make money and we're not doing it for fun anymore.
And then it's like, I don't know, it's just like, it doesn't feel like good work. It doesn't resonate. It's not real. You know, when you're just trying to make something just to make money, or just to pander to someone, or just to please someone else because they gave you money, like, fuck that, man. I mean, y'all. Don't try to do anything with any of your projects.
And then that relaxed attitude is what lets the inspiration in, and then all of a sudden you feel like working on your project, and you feel good about it because you're not doing it just to make money.
Yes.
And then, so now any project, like, If you feel like you are not following through with something that you want to because you know it's, you know you want to do it, but you also are trying to monetize it like a good millennial, just say to yourself, don't try to do anything with this project, man.
And thank you. This has been the fun show.
Don't try to do anything with the fun show, and we won't either. Thanks for listening. Check out schooloflifedesign.com to not do anything with all of our products.
Don't go to schooloflifedesign.com.
Don't.
Whatever you do.
Don't
whatever
go
you
there.
Do, don't sign up for our unlimited downloads and
magical library
online oracle reading for $15 a month.
Don't try to do anything with that. Don't try to support us. Don't try to listen to the next fun show. don't try to do anything today, man.
All right.
Thanks for listening. We love you. Bye.